Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 7th, 2013, episode 566, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Wow.
That's the first time you heard that opener, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. That was great. And yes, I am the queen, and people are jealous. So let's be real here. And you know what? I was trying to place the Stuart Smalley at first, and I was like, who is that? Who is that? And I was thinking that it was Mr. Rogers, which would have also been fitting. But as soon as he said, and doggone it, people like me, then I realized it was Stuart Smalley.
It took me a long time to find appropriate quotes for us. It did. But when I heard those two for you, it was like, it's just perfect. I couldn't get any better.
I love it. I love it. Well done. Well done. It's amazing how long it takes to put together something that short. Isn't it?
Probably, people think, why don't you change your openers more often? That literally took me probably 4 or 5 hours just to find the sound cuts that fit, you know?
Wow. Wow.
You're great.
That's crazy. well done. That was very entertaining. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yes, we did. We had a quiet weekend here in Florida. It's been absolutely beautiful weather. We're supposed to be in the 80s for the next 10 days, and I know that half the people just hit their radios. But it's going to be absolutely beautiful. If you want a nice, warm place to come down and join all the eventers and dressage riders and show jumpers here in Florida. It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a reason why every single one of them goes down there. That is the truth. You know, it's been actually really cold here. It got... The high has been around 65, and it's been like 38 at night, which is ridiculous. I know, it's crazy. They're talking about how this is the craziest winter. We actually had a freeze over the weekend, and it broke two of my automatic waterers.
Do you guys even have heat in the house?
We do have heat in the house, trust me,
okay.
Because I have it cranking all the time.
Yeah, that's something you don't use a lot.
No, but we have used it a lot this week. I know people are hating me right now for saying the high has been like 65, but you know what? I feel with 117 degree days, you know, this has to even out. There's a reason. It's supposed to be 75 every day right now. And do you know what? My poor, poor little guinea pigs who live outside. They have their own, like, guinea pig haven that they live in outside. It's amazingly huge, and there's two guinea pigs, and they live the life of Riley. Well, it was too cold for them, so I brought them in. And, of course, they hate being in those small little cage, so I had to put them back out. And you know what I did to compromise? I got them a heat lamp. My guinea pigs have a heat lamp, Glenn.
God. I can see it now. Your baby's going to be like an incubator. You know, you're going to buy an incubator, $20,000, and that's where your baby's going to live.
Well, that's why I have the heat lamp, was from the chicks we raised. So I was like, well, let's just put it back out there. And it's funny because it's like they, I go out there at night just to check on everything, and they're guinea pigs, they're sunbathing. It's like they have sunglasses on, they got sun to tan lotion, they're got margaritas.
Folding chairs.
Folding chairs is all of them.
Well, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, our opening salvo is What's Up on the West Coast, featuring ever-enthusiastic Tamara Smith, who you may recall took the blue this fall in the West Coast Young Event Horse Championships aboard Fleeceworth Cinco. She's going to be here to tell us what she's up to this winter. And following a pregnant pause for pee breaks and toe-tapping tunes, the wily voice of Horse Nation will arrive at the appointed hour with her top 10 posts from 2012. And don't forget, folks, it's Old Rock Day, so celebrate responsibly.
Is that Old Rocks or Old Rock and Roll?
No, Old Rocks.
Old Rocks. Oh, okay. Aren't all rocks old when you think about it?
I mean, well,
this is not a very
good
conversation starter. Hey, happy Old Rock Day.
Well, my Daily Winnie today goes out to the neighbor kids in my neighborhood. Now, mostly in where we live in this beautiful community here in Ocala, it is, you know, overgreened live oak trees and beautiful little farmettes everywhere and mostly senior citizens, except for our one neighbor who has teenage kids right across the street. And, Jamie, they decided to buy the teenage kids guns for Christmas and about 20,000 rounds of ammunition, I would say, judging by what's been shot off so far since Christmas. And our dog, Glory, our poor little greyhound, is terrified of guns. She was found as a stray, and they think that the breeder was a guy who took greyhounds and bred them with hunting dogs. And she, you know, growing up basically in a hunting camp, learned to hate gunshots, and they think that he probably just dumped her because she couldn't deal with it. So now you take her to go outside to go to the bathroom and take a walk. If she hears a gunshot, she freaks out, turns around, and hits the leash at about 30 miles an hour and heads back to the house. It doesn't matter if she's gone or not yet. She is just terrified of gunshots. And this has been all day, every day. And thank God they're going back to school because,
yeah, school starts today. And I've noticed that a lot of my friends that are parents are posted on Facebook, thank God they go back to school today. I can't take it. But that sucks. And I understand your pain, Glenn. Neighbors having guns to shoot off, which probably is not legal for them to be shooting right there.
Neighbors. Or it's pretty much
really
a free-for-all. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Well, I live in this little agricultural neighborhood, and my next door neighbor's kids for Christmas got motocross motorcycles.
Oh, which, that's great.
Yeah, and they're only five. So they are not big enough to take the motocross motorcycles the heck out of here, off the property. No, they like to just ride it around in their pasture, which is adjacent to my thoroughbred's pasture, which makes for really awesome running.
Well, see, I'm probably in better situation because ammunition's expensive. I mean, it's getting really expensive for guns. So I'm thinking that they have to run out soon, and they're going to be limiting their shooting then from then on because it's going to cost so much. Price of, you know, those little motorbikes run on a gallon of gas for about a week, so you're screwed.
And you know what's even more awesome is they're homeschooled, too. So that's fun. That's really fun.
Great. Now, have you asked them to stop when you're out riding in the arena?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I have asked. I am to the point where I hate these people, and they hate me. Because the other day, you know, I mean, okay, I'm riding and I'm pregnant, so I'm probably asking for it. But I really don't need any help falling off. And they actually also got, what are they, the remote control cars? Which arena borders their... Yeah, my arena is at the front of my property, which borders their driveway. And the kids don't care about the remote control cars. It's the dad. And he gets out there and starts running this thing around, and I'm on Jet. And Jet is a ticking time bomb anyway. And I always plan it where I'm like, okay, are they out there? Are they out there? No. Okay, let's go ride right now. Go, go, go. So I get packed up and I get out there, and it's like they look out the window. They're like, she's here. Come on, you guys. Let's see what we can do to get her fucked off. And he's out there, and this actually made Chad pretty mad, too. Is I'm out there, I'm riding Jed around, and I'm turning around to come through the gymnastics that I've set up, and he runs the remote control car at full speed directly into the fence, which is the only thing that separates his driveway and my arena, as I'm riding by, and crashes it into the fence. Kaboom! And if you can just imagine little Jet, big Jet, freaking out, to the point where Chad actually yelled. It was ugly.
Did he listen?
Oh, no. No, we actually ended up having to leave. We just all, there was like six of us riding. Six, and there's kids on ponies, okay? And we ended up all having to leave. So, you know
what?
Can you
put up like a big sound barrier wall between your house and his?
You know what? My neighbor on the other side is building a bigger brick wall. So, we're going to have to think about it. Take up my arena space, though.
This is your turn.
Well, it didn't need to all be about me. I'm really sorry that your neighbor has guns. I don't know what I would do. I would lose my mind. I'm scared of guns, so I'm sorry. Sorry, Glory. Give her a cookie from me.
Well, as long as they're shooting the other direction, I feel better about it anyway.
How do you know, though? Shooting it?
No, but there hasn't been any bullets in our house either, so I'm figuring they're shooting it from the else's house.
Good Lord, that's scary. So my daily Winnie, I have two. The first one goes to my dear sweet husband, whose birthday is tomorrow, which we will have a show live tomorrow. So happy birthday to my husband. It's going to be a heck of a year for him.
He's got his birthday present in the oven already.
I know. That's great. I don't have to get him anything. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't even have to bake him a cake. You're already baking him something.
You know what? That's a really good point. I'm already baking you something. You didn't get cake.
Happy birthday, Chad.
I got another one.
Okay. Oh, so sorry.
Well, my next daily Winnie goes out to the Unwanted Horse Coalition. They have a program called Operation Gelding, and they have their numbers in from 2012. They castrated, this is such a great number, brain surgery on 208 stallions last year. Almost 600 stallions have been castrated since the first Operation Gelding Clinic. The program was launched in 2010, and the money is provided by the AAEP, which is the basically what your vet is a member of, Pfizer, and the Unwanted Horse Coalition. And they have basically offer low-cost gelding, $50 a horse. Unless, of course, it's Crypt Orchid or something like that. But $50 a horse to help with the cost. In 2012 alone, they castrated stallions from 14 different states. So just big daily Winnie to those guys.
Wow, that's terrific. Yeah, and, you know, that's something that people put off because it does, if you have a vet come out, it does cost a couple $100. And they go, oh, I'll get to it, you know, when I can afford it. And then they never afford it and they never get to it.
Well, there's a lot of people that can't afford it, and they shouldn't be breeding their dang horses anyway, but that foal comes out, and it's a boy, and they don't ever castrate it because they don't have the money to do it, and this kind of takes the pressure off people like that especially. But to have a horse castrated is $250 at our clinic, and then to add a trip charge or to take it in, you know, then you've got an office visit or the trip charge, so you're looking at over $300. So this is a huge savings, so I think it's a great thing they're doing.
Terrific. Well, Jennifer's going to be getting our first guest on the line here today. We're excited to have Tamara Smith back with us. But until she gets on the line a little bit later, we're going to find out how your horse did at the show over the weekend and whether your rider, your student, stayed in one piece or there was a hospital visit. I have not heard yet, so I'm excited to hear that. And we also have Leslie Wiley's making a return today, too. So we have a lot of things planned. I wanted to remind everybody of the auction going on for Tammy Srontz over there at the Western Radio Show. She's going to be having some head surgery here soon to try and help with some of the lingering problems she's had from her car accident. So we're encouraging you to stop over. She has an auction with all kinds of good stuff on it. It's at TammyCronce.com. TammyCronce.com. You'll find all the items that are up for auction over there. So please do stop by and do that. And don't forget to get your ads in for Really Bad Ads on Friday. Send them to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. That's Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. And Jamie, we set a record for the number of listeners, live listeners and recorded listens on Friday's show. Really Bad Ads is becoming popular, I think. Either that or just a lot of people are off on Friday. I'm not sure which.
I don't think it's that. I, you know, maybe we're just funnier on Fridays and people know not to listen on Mondays or Wednesdays.
I think that's it. There's no funny on Mondays.
Yeah, we're not funny on Mondays. Nobody's funny on Monday.
Hey, I did see, too, we're going to be talking about a little later in the show, that the Eclipse Award finalists have come out. And, of course, those are the awards that are given out every year for the horses and jockeys and trainers and stuff in the racing world. So I hope, hopefully a little later in the show we can get to who was nominated.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal for the year. I mean, I'll never forget the heated battle between Rachel Alexander and Zenyatta. And I don't want to discuss what happened in that one, but it doesn't matter because Zenyatta won the next year. I'll never forget it.
And there's some interesting ones in the lineup this year, so we're going to be talking about that as the show goes on this morning as well. We didn't do a whole lot of anything over the weekend. We watched some movies on Netflix, and you know what? I got to tell you real quick here. Jennifer had never seen Sleepless in Seattle. So we actually watched that. She got to see Sleepless in Seattle the first time. What I found was interesting being a geek is looking at the technology that was in existence back, when was that, the early 90s maybe or 80s?
I probably like 1990.
Yeah, so it was interesting seeing the computers, how big the monitors were, you know, those big, huge monitors and archaic-looking things and no cell phones. And it was very interesting to watch from the geek's point of view. But she didn't cry, but I had forgotten a lot about that movie, too. And it was a good movie.
It was 1993. Wow, we've come a long way. But you know what? We may have come a long way technology-wise, but we have not come a long way love story-wise. I'm sorry. That is one of my favorite movies of all time. And it was actually on TV this weekend as well. I think it was Friday night. And Chad wanted to go out to dinner, and Chad wanted to do something. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm watching Sleepless in Seattle. Like, we didn't go anywhere because it was on. I love that movie.
And Meg Ryan was one of the most beautiful women ever. Have you seen pictures of her recently?
Don't tell me.
It's
Is it bad?
Scary. Oh, it's scary. She's had so much work done. She has that look. You know that look from the Batman movie?
Oh.
You know, the Joker look?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad. And she was one of the most beautiful women in the world, I thought. And now you look at her and you go, you don't even recognize her.
Seriously, I got to Google her because I love her. I don't care what you say. She'll never change to me in 1993. Why do women do that to themselves?
I have no idea. It's scary. I'm telling you, it's scary.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
I'd rather see them age and have the wrinkles. Thank you very much. Than porcelain doll look. Anyway, there's somebody that doesn't have any wrinkles, and that's one of our favorite eventers. You want to introduce her?
I would love to. We've got Tamara Smith, a Fleece Works rider who is also, whoop, whoop, what's up, West Coast like I am. And I got to point out, before you come on, I would like to tell everybody that Tamara makes a fantastic Michelle Obama. Yes, I was at that party. Last year, it was before Halloween, and Tamara had a Halloween party at her house, and she dressed up as Michelle Obama, and her husband was Ricky Bobby, and they made quite the wonderful couple. Do you want to comment on that, Tamara?
Oh, that was such a fun party. We were just talking about it last night, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
That was the best. We definitely have a sense of humor.
your husband certainly does, considering the outfit that he wore. Why don't you describe, Tamara, what your husband was, which part of the movie he was with Ricky Bobby in?
So the scene where Ricky Bobby's on the racetrack and the car starts to catch on fire and he jumps out of the car and runs and starts ripping off all of his clothes until he's just in his underwear and his helmet and running like on the racetrack with just his like tidy whitey underwear and his helmet. So it was quite interesting because if you know my husband, that's like not really like something that you would think he would come up with. So he has way more of a sense of humor than I ever thought that he did. Now that he was that for Halloween, it was quite amusing, really entertaining.
Yes. Well, there's nothing like, you know, I've never been to your house or I didn't really know your husband at all. And being greeted by a hug by a strange man in his tidy whities and a racing helmet was definitely a colorful experience.
Yeah, and he acted like Ricky Bobby even. He was like in full, like.
He was in character.
I mean, yeah, it was quite interesting in character.
Well, it was great.
He's kind of embarrassed from the whole thing too, but
seriously,
yeah, he's like, I can't believe I did that.
I'm like, amazing.
I can't believe
alcohol
he did either, but it was awesome.
I thought it was great. And he'll live on now forever with this radio show. Sounds great. Well, hey, so how, obviously you had a pretty heck of a good 2012. I think when we talked to you last at Rolex, you were in a leg cast, and then you end up finishing the year with the Young Horse Champion.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I don't know how great it was, but it was definitely eventful. I had a lot going on in last year. I'm glad for it to be over.
Well, tell us a little bit about Cinco.
He is doing so well. He's grown up so fast, and he, you know, obviously was a 4-year-old Young Event Horse Champion, and then the 5-year-old, you know, West Coast Young Event Horse Champion, and he's getting ready to do his first preliminary here, the first weekend in February. So I'm really excited about that. Now that he's officially 6. So really excited about that. And he's now, which is really exciting, the Young Event Horse, the USCA came up with a grant to give to the winner of the Young Event Horse 5-year-old to, pending their competition record and success, but giving them a grant to a homebred horse. They're giving $18,500 to the year of their 7-year-old year so that they can go compete at Les Lyons in France at the 2-star 7-year-old championships in Europe.
Wow.
So that's so cool that they came up with that and that the actual grant donors were able to come up with money. And then if it's not a homebred, then it's like half that. It's like $8,000. So Cinco was bred in Texas, so he's a homebred. So it would pretty virtually pay for his trip to go to Europe and back,
which is
really, really exciting. That's like such a great program. I think they're going to get a lot more interest. The USCA will get a lot more interest in the Young Event Horse for that reason right there, because what's really cool about it is even if it's the winner doesn't take, like let's say Cinco, decides he doesn't want to jump cross country and he's going to be a dressage horse, then they go to the next eligible, you know, the next best score until they find like the proper 7-year-old at that year who's going to really end up being, you know, the best candidate to go to Europe and they want them, you know, to go there and win. And so that's really cool. That's, But Cinco is just, I'm so lucky to ride such a great horse. He's such a, you know, I just had a clinic with a guy by the name of Lane Clark, who's a big show jumper guy out here on the West Coast, and he also trains and helps people on the East, some friends of mine on the East Coast as well. But he says to me when I ride him, he's like, this horse tries so hard, you can't ask him to try harder. And that's not something that you get very often. I mean, he tries and gives his everything every time I ride him. It's unreal.
Aw, that's fantastic. And you're running him in his first prelim at Galway?
Yeah.
Wow. And I did hear that you have 7 horses entered in one competition.
Now 8. I haven't competed since July because of my broken leg, so I'm excited.
8 horses. Well, you're like Buck Davidson this past weekend, who had 11, I think, at Ocala.
Wow.
So you're creeping up on him. You're the West Coast Buck Davidson. That's except for way prettier.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, that's great. I know you have a lot to catch up on. So tell us a little bit about how Fleeks works, kind of works into your whole program, and how important it is in your daily routine.
I mean, it's such a great product. Every single horse that I rides, I use those pads, obviously, and it's great because I don't have a custom fit saddle for every single one of my horses. And like you said, I'm riding 8 horses at Galway. And so every single one of them, their back isn't obviously alike. And so I'm able to use like perfect balance half pads and put inserts inside them. And whether that be like a wool felt or a memory foam type, you know, insert, I'm able to adjust the pad so that it gives my horses a more custom fit, you know, saddle to their back. So I can't imagine not being able to have that product. I couldn't expect that the people that own my horses pay, you know, so that much money for a jump. You know, like every horse kind of has a custom dressage saddle because you're sitting right down there on their back. But the jump saddles are, I mean, and I'm very particular. Like I know what I like as far as what I want to ride in. And so, you know, I really want to ride in a specific saddle. And so, you know, not all of them are, you know, are like the, I ride in a Devaku jump saddle, and so those are not wool flocked, and so they're not able to be, you know, custom fit to the same extent as a wool flock saddle. And
right.
But with my Fleeceworks pad, I'm able to do that in my pad instead of my saddle, which is kind of cool because your horses change all the time, and you see those people always getting their saddles to change, but I can get my pads to change instantly. I don't have to wait for the saddle fitter to come, it's really great.
And the thing is, let's see, you're riding 8 horses. A brand new Devaku jump saddle would go around $4,000 to $5,000. Let's see, so to multiply that by 8, you got to take out a mortgage to have that many Devakus. So you're exactly right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're doing good with the Fleeceworks pads, and I guess you get some education when it comes to buying them and putting it all together. And I'm assuming you recommend them to all of your students as well, because you have million students. And not only are you going to be riding 8 horses at Galway, how many students will you have to coach?
I don't know yet. I typically have more people to coach when I go to the horse shows than I do when I'm at home. I don't teach quite as much at home. I ride mostly. But at the horse shows, I definitely have a lot of people because I like to help all the young riders that, you know, are that have come and been working students or whatever, and they need help. And so, but typically, I would assume I'm going to coach, you know, probably 10 to 15 people, roughly, unless, you know, I'm obviously on a horse and I won't be able to do that. That's what's interesting about the West Coast versus the East Coast is that we actually do a lot of coaching at our horse shows on the West Coast, where you would see on the East Coast, you know, the students go and take the lessons, but then they go to the horse show and unless you're, you know, going to Fair Hill or something, you don't really get the same kind of coaching that you would like on the West Coast.
No, Tammy, I came from Georgia and evented in Kentucky and in Georgia and had coaches. Never did I ever have somebody coach me at a horse trial, and it seems now I ride with Barb Crabo. And
yeah.
When you work at home and then you go to, it seems almost like every person at each competition is with a different barn. I was always an individual on the East Coast, and living
yeah.
here, it was like you have to kind of choose which coach you're going to ride with.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's very different.
More of the hunter-jumper model than the eventing model that
it
we're
is.
Used to over here, yeah.
I think because so many people on the East Coast they keep their horses at home, and they have their own place of where they board, but, like, it's very much the hunter-jumper place. Like, we have 40 horses in our barn at my facility, and other than the dressage horses that I train, which is probably 5 of them, everybody else events. So if you're at my barn, then you ride with Next Level Eventing and Tamara Smith. And if you're, you know, at Barb Crabo's barn, then you ride with Four Peaks Farm and you train with Barb Crabo. So, but it's very friendly. I mean, even though there's so many different barns, we're all, like, you know, really friendly, and it's not quite like the hunter jumper.
Well, one of the other things we have on the East Coast that you guys don't have is a lot more shows. So if Jennifer was riding with the coach wasn't necessarily at the same shows that Jennifer went to, because, you know, you would go to shows that fit your schedule, not necessarily the ones that everybody else was going to. So, you know,
that's
there's
right.
just a lot more choices, and your coach isn't at every one of them. I want to follow up before we let you go. You were talking about a favorite saddle. We were talking about the Fleecework saddle pads. We've interviewed probably 2,000-3,000 guests now, a lot of them professional riders. Do you have your favorite? Some of them could care less about this stuff, and then others are so picky, and it goes. And some of them surprise us when we interview them. Do you have your favorite everything? Your favorite socks? Your favorite breeches? Your favorite? You already said you have a favorite saddle.
Yeah.
And favorite saddle pads.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has a favorite everything?
Yeah, I do. I'm really picky about specific pads, but. The Fleeceworks things, like for every day I use the baby pad and I use a half pad, and mostly I've been using the Therawool because it's more durable during the, you know, everyday use. And for the show, I don't know actually the technical term of what it's called, but the pad that has the fleece underneath, the actual pad, it's one, and they make a dressage all-in-one pad and a show jump as well as a cross-country pad, and the both in Therawool and the sheepskin, and those are my favorite. I love the way they look. They look really clean, and Judy's so great because she's so particular about making sure that the pad is fit perfectly to every single saddle. And if it's not, she's like, her little brain is going around and around and trying to figure out, you know, how is it gonna look better, you know, on that saddle model versus, you know, something else. So it's really cool because I want the pad to look a certain way. So it's good. Very good.
Well, we love Fleeceworks, and I know you do too, and we certainly love Fleeceworks Cinco, who was the leaderboard for the West Coast Championships this year, winning the five-year-old division. I can't wait to see how he does in his first prelim. Tamara Smith,
yeah.
Good luck at Galway. Holy cow, you're going to be tired. Have a glass of wine at the end of the evening, okay, or
yeah,
two.
I will,
sir. All right, well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bye, Kim.
Okay.
Love her.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. And you know what? I think your West Coast, the West Coast eventers tend to be a lot of fun because they have to work so hard at it.
There's a lot of driving. There's a lot of driving. So you have a lot of time to think. Like, going to Galway is 6 hours, and that's a normal trip for people over here on the West Coast. And I remember living in Atlanta and eventing. We made one pilgrimage to Lexington, Kentucky a year to do one horse trial in Lexington. And that was the farthest drive ever. Oh, my God. We couldn't believe we would drive that far. It was 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was like
that was,
the culmination.
That was the big
of
event of the year.
Yeah.
Well, that's another reason I think in the East Coast you see – more people just out there doing their own thing. There are so many people on the East Coast, and that includes Florida, where you can find an event any given weekend during the season less than 2 hours away. You don't have to gang together and make a big production of it because it's right down the street. Whereas out where you are, Jamie, you'd best better haul with somebody, gather as many people together as you can, and set up a campsite because it's a week-long
yeah.
procedure to get to an event.
You would never, I mean, people never had living quarter horse trailers. I mean, you'd see one or two at a horse show on the East Coast. Because when I lived in Lexington, we would go home that night, take the horses home, come back the next day for the show. I mean, you would never see living quarters. When you go to a West Coast event, there's a line of lines and rows of park trailers with all with living quarters in them because you have to have it. You know, you're so far from home. So it is
yeah,
amazing.
That's still cheaper than hotels every night in California, Southern California.
Well, and then the drives, too, because you're not going to find a hotel, much like the horse park. There's not a hotel at the horse park. There's a hotel
right.
25 miles away.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break for our song today. We have Wishing You Wings by Templeton Thompson. We're going to be back with the news from the weekend in just a minute. We'll be right back.
True, oh yeah, I know it's hard. learn to let go.
That was Templeton Thompson, Wishing You Wings. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things that include their coat, digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. Anti-Flam is one of those products. Anti-Flam alleviates rheumatoid arthritis pains and body aches, especially in the back, legs, and feet. It can be used for both chronic and acute cases. It acts as an anti-inflammatory in muscles, feet and joints, and also relieves pain, and anti-flam encourages the repair of damaged tissue. Plus, it supplies sulfur to the body, important for many biochemical reactions in the body. Please see all of their products, including anti-flam, at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. Well, Jamie, we got some news here from the weekend. One of the things I wanted to bring up was that the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, has come out in response. You remember a little while back we had the story of Tom Davis, who was the guy who had bought 1,700 horses since 2009 from the BLM, and then that got public. And there's no tracking of where they went, and everybody assumes that these, you know, 1,700 horses went to slaughter plants in Mexico. Well, in response to that, the BLM has come out on Friday with some new regulations about adopting horses from them. And they say that, one of the things they're trying to do is you're not supposed to take the BLM horses and take them for slaughter. Well, under the new rules, the sales of wild Mustangs and Burros will be limited to no more than four within a six-month period unless prior approval was obtained from the BLM. Buyers must Buyers must also describe where they intend to keep the animals. Okay, right. So I don't have to prove anything. I can just say, I'm going to keep them out. I got this pasture. It's 80 acres, and that's where I'm going to keep them. I guess that's okay. So there's a lot of criticism over the new rules because they're just, you know, it's the BLM putting a Band-Aid on a problem that needs operation.
Well, I got to say, it's so disappointing because I remember when I tried to adopt a BLM Mustang when I was probably about 21 years old, and they were at the Kentucky Horse Park, or they were supposed to come, and I had to fill out an adoption form that was describing to the T and taking photographs of the fencing that was going to be used for the Mustang, and it had to be this high and this tall and this kind of material. Well, of course, they never actually brought the BLM Mustangs because they were kept all together like that. They came down with strangles, so they didn't even bring them to be adopted. So the adoption was canceled. But just that paperwork that I had to fill out 10 years ago, well, 15 years ago, was so extensive. And now it just seems like they're just not worrying about it at all.
Well, they are restricting the number, but you know that people find a way around that. Do you realize how much they were selling them for? What the deal was since 2005? If you wanted 20 or more horses, you paid $10 each for them, and get this, the BLM would deliver them. So
wow. For
$10 each, the BLM would deliver them. If you wanted a smaller number, let's say you only wanted 10 horses, you could be purchased for anything from $25 to $75, and the BLM would deliver them. Well, now they're going away from that, and they're making you deliver your own horses because we're losing so much money. Jennifer, you had something.
Well, maybe the BLM delivering them is a good thing. At least they can prove that the facility exists. The problem isn't the amount of paperwork you fill out. The fact is that none of it's ever followed up on. You can fill out 135 pages of paperwork, which is upsetting to Jamie because Jamie's an honest human being. If you are a liar and a thief and a horse trader, and they're not all mutually exclusive, it doesn't matter how many pages, how many times you have to say you have good fencing. If nobody ever checks up on it and you know that, you're just going to lie.
That's true. I mean, that's, you know.
Nobody ever checks.
There's no dishonest people in the horse world, Jennifer. What are you talking about?
What a lovely
never.
Monday.
You know, unless you're like Madeline Pickens or the nice woman from Dunstan Wines that we talked to that actually rescued 125 of them, found them in pasture and turned them out kind of thing. Who needs 20-plus Mustangs? Let's be realistic. You got to use your common sense. But they don't care. They don't care. And this is not – we do not need to start a discussion on how ridiculous things
that
the BLM are.
I just brought it up because of the new regulations. It was all over the news. That's the only reason I brought it up. Let's go to something a little more fun, and that's something we promised from last Friday. And that's Gary Stevens was riding again. Tell us a little – you had talked about that on Friday.
Yeah,
50 years
Gary
old.
Stevens, 49 – he's not 50 yet, Glenn. Jeez. 49 years old, making a comeback. And I guess they haven't made a horse movie in a while, so he hasn't had a part. He was in Seabiscuit. He was George Wolfe in Seabiscuit. So to get an idea of who this guy is, for those who don't know, he's a fantastically famous jockey, retired because of bad knees about 15 years ago. And I don't know, he's been feeling good, and he just was ready to ride again. And he had his first race this Sunday at Santa Anita. So how did he do, Glenn?
Well, I have the audio of the race. Now, he is on a horse. I'm trying to think of how they said the name of this horse. So you can – is it Jabrica? Is it Jabrica? I think that's how you say the name of the horse that he's on is Jabrica. So when you're hearing the commentary, you'll hear Jabrica mentioned. So that's the horse that Gary Stevens is riding. So here we go.
Dolcet.
Takes a second to get started here. Somebody was having trouble loading. Yeah.
Way they go to a perfect start. Kindle flew out the gate, and Kindle flying off to the early lead. Broken Dreams is getting up to race second. On the far side, Misdirection broke well, now drops back a joint third with Javine and Byramas, the trailers, six off the leaders. They go to the half mile, and Kindle, very fast out here, leads it a length and a half. Broken Dreams is taken back down at the rail. On the far side, Misdirection showing a lot of speed today. Misdirection now goes up alongside a Kindle. Javine a close up fourth, and Byrama is at the back. Down the hill they come, and it's Javine on the inside, Misdirection right there in second. Broken Dreams in the gold cap tucked in neatly in third, and Broken Dreams now coming strongly after them. Then it's Javine, Byrama's now seven off the leader. They come to the top of the lane, and Kendall kicks on for home. On the outside, Misdirection. Broken Dreams going to go for a run at the rail, then Javine and Byrama. Homeward bound, and Kendall is still in front, just over a length of Misdirection. Broken Dreams, Javine and Byrama. Kendall digs deep, finds more. Misdirection chasing gamely on the outside. Kendall holding on to the lead. Kendall, Misdirection, all class up to win it. Misdirection, tag Kendall right at the wire. By Rama running on, then Javine and Broken Dreams.
I'm not sure that's the right race. I'm kind of embarrassed.
I'm like listening to this going, what is he?
I had a heck of a time finding the race, and then I'm looking and...
That's not the right race. Way to go, Glenn.
Wait a minute.
Way to go.
I'm just looking at reading the news here, and that is very confusing.
Okay, well, here, for those that are standing by, holding their breath, waiting for to hear about Jabrica, it was a $50,000 claiming race. Gary Stevens held the lead down the stretch. Coming around the final turn, he's in the front. He is holding the lead. And then a horse named Maybe Tuesday came in and ran past him. And then a horse named Deacon Speaking was running up behind him. And down the stretch they come. Gary Stevens holding the lead. Coming up next to him, Baby Tuesday. And now coming up, Deacon Speaking takes the lead. Here they come, sweeping under the wire. It is Baby Tuesday, Deacon Speaking, and then finally Jabrica. How'd I do?
Pretty good, because apparently this race I did give you was a race that was from Santa Anita on the same card, but a different race.
So there you go. He came third place. He said he was a perfect trip. It felt really good. He thought it was going to be a storybook comeback. It was close, but it wasn't close enough.
Hey, it's the money. Third's in the money.
Yeah, exactly. So he said he's going to ride on a selective basis throughout the season of Santa Anita. And I lied. He hasn't ridden in 7 years, not 15. So he will be racing and choosing horses all the way through April 21st. So he'll be starving himself through April 21st.
Then he lost like 40 pounds to do this, too. He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Well, just a little bit more about some horse racing stuff. They announced the Eclipse Award finalists, and they have announced several of them. There's too many to go through the whole thing, but starting with the trainer, we've got Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, and Dale Romans. There's a lot of money in horse racing. I mean, I know that's speaking the obvious, but Bob Baffert won $20 million, almost $21 million in purses. Todd Pletcher, $15 million, and Dale Romans, almost $12 million in purses.
How much we know that the jockeys get 5 to 10%. How much do the trainers get?
I think same thing.
Or is it more than that? I would assume it would be more than that, because they're charging the owners for every day they're at the barn and, for board and training and everything, too. I assume in addition to the winnings. I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Google it, Jennifer.
I'll make sure I ask Dean tonight when I talk to him.
Yeah, go have Dean on. Ask him about that, because Jennifer's going to do some horse tip dailies with Mucho Macho Man's owner, Dean. So
awesome.
He's going to do some.
Deal.
What's he going to do the tips on, Jennifer? Is it on racing?
The first set of tips, the first series, is going to be racehorse ownership do's and don'ts.
Oh, there you go. That'll be fun. Yeah, ask him about that. I'd be interested to know the answer. All right, James, sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, that's okay. I was trying to Google it, but I ran out of time. Okay, so the jockeys that are in the running to win the Eclipse Award is Javier Castellano with $22.5 million in earnings. Ramon Dominguez, and then you can do your little 10% numbers right here. Ramon Dominguez with $25.5 million. And then John Velasquez, which was almost $20 million. So he's doing all right. They're doing
all right. They can all afford to drink at night. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. And then the male sprinter of the year, I picked this to go over because we're going to really recognize one of the horses in it. Trinneberg, which is $1.3 million. The Lumber Guy won $735 million. And, of course, our favorite comeback kid, Shackelford, with $1.1 million.
Poor Shackelford's going to win an award for something.
My God, give that horse something. For crying out loud, he is the only one who is still running from a year to 2 years ago running in the Kentucky Derby. My God.
Can we at least just give him a trophy that says something, has a horse on it? Yeah.
Give him a trophy and then let him retire, for crying out loud. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to go over 3-year-old fillies. Is Believe You Can, Questing, and My Miss Aurelia, who won over $1 million. So a nice little filly. 3-year-old males. Glenn, do you want to tell everybody who 3-year-old males are?
Oh, yes, because my horse was in there. My winning horse, I'll have another, is leading that pack and going to win. Doesn't matter who the other two are.
Oh, you better watch your mouth, because
Bodie Meister, Bob Baffert, and Union Rags, Michael Matz also was in there. But there's no competition. I'll have another. Was almost triple in winnings of those other two, you know, no-name horses.
Yeah. He won $2.6 million this year. How is that possible? He was 4-0. And then Bodie Meister, 2-4-0. And then Union Rags was 2-0-1. So, you know, Union Rags for only running in three races, winning $940,000. And he's so pretty. And I love Michael Matz. So I'm going to pull for them now.
Can I also mention that I'll have another's in another category, too?
Yes. So maybe he'll just win that one and we'll give it to Union Rags. Horse of the Year. The Horse of the Year Eclipse Award is it's the big one. And it is always won by a gelding or stallion. It seems to be a male-dominated Horse of the Year. But we did have the year that Rachel Alexander won back-to-back with Zenyatta. So we're giving it back to the boys this year. Whether
that
we
is
like
correct.
It or not.
I'll have another.
I'll have another listed. Wise Dan, who made set a track record at the Breeders' Cup, or Fort Larned, who has won $3.5 million. So all of the others not looking good in this category.
No, I don't think so either, and to be honest with you. And you know who I think is really going to take this and has gotten a lot of press recently, if you take a look at the amount of press? If we go by the amount of press, Wise Dan has gotten a lot of press. People seem to like Wise Dan, and he's being picked by a lot of the writers and things. So I don't know. I think Wise Dan has a shot of this, even over Fort Larned.
Yeah, I believe so. I that's who I would put my money on, even though Fort Larned won $3.5 million and he only won 2.6. So that's just the way that
that's
it
all.
Is. That's all. That's it.
That's all.
Hey, speaking of horses and having so many horses and having too many horses, do you know what is going on in the polo world? We don't talk about polo enough. And these people that play polo, dear God, they have a lot of money. I mean money. Just coming out of their ears. They sweat and they wipe it with money and then they throw it away. But, I mean, seriously, that's what they do. Polo competitors, this is the first line of this article. Polo competitors are willing to pay up to $2 million for clones of their famous polo ponies, especially in Argentina. Yes, there have been 60 clones of polo ponies so far, and the demand keeps going up. A rider named Adolfo Cambiosa has a horse that he rode named Quatera, I believe is how you say it, and he has ordered 8 clones of Quartera. 8.
At $2 million each?
I don't know how much this one is. $2 million was what they're offering to pay. Yeah, so it could be $2 million a piece. And he says that the clones look and act just like their parents, and that the clones will kick you, bite you just like them. It's exactly like their clones, I guess. Buyers are undeterred, even though no clone has even yet been tested in a match. They're just ordering clone after clone after clone of these horses.
You know, it's interesting. When we first started the Horse Radio Network on the Stable Scoop Show, we did an episode on clones, and we had the people from the doctors on who do the cloning out of that place in Texas, the biggest one. I can't remember the name of it right now. And then we also had the people who were against it, and we had. It was a very interesting show, and one of the things the doctor said is, you know, it's a clone, and yes, it will kind of act like the parent, but, you know, they still, even the people doing the cloning, give a lot of credit to environment, you know, that old argument. And they said, you know, it's not necessarily going to perform the same way. It's going to have different training. It's going to have different upbringing. It's going to have different environmental factors, so... You know, we can promise you a clone that will look and will act personality-wise a lot like it, but we can't guarantee they're going to have the talent that the mom and dad had.
Now, they don't go to say who it is, and this is a place called Crestview Farms. I don't know where that is. And this guy named Mr. Meeker holds a exclusive license to use a specific technique. Now, this technique is the one that created Dolly the sheep, the first clone, in 1996. And so this license is recognized, but not in Argentina, because they have a rival cloning firm laboratory down there. So it's like, whose clones are going to be cheaper now? But Crestview has created 60 clones. He hopes to produce up to 30 clones next year, but it's not keeping with the demand, because one ear polo player, who has not been named, has requested 100 copies of the same horse. 100.
I don't know how I feel about that.
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. But he says that the idea is not to have games where four, like, say, quartetas are playing four quartetas. They don't want to have that. That's not what they want to do. But that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what they're going to end up doing, is having six of the same horses.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Everybody's playing the same horse.
Wow.
Crazy.
Viagen was the company that we interviewed. Viagen is one of the biggest ones here in the United States.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, it seems a little bit, seems amazing.
It does make me wonder, I obviously know where the money comes from in polo. They're not making money on polo. It's a moneyed group to begin with that sponsors polo. They're certainly not making it from the crowds. But I've been to polo matches. We've been to polo matches up and down the East Coast here. And, there's a crowd, but, at $5 a car or $10 a car, whatever they charge, they're not making money. So it's interesting that there is that much money being poured into it.
I think it's because every polo player is unbelievably good looking and they all have side jobs as models.
Let's see how Leslie feels about that from Horse Nation. It is that time of the week where we have Horse Nation on with us, and coming back from vacation and the holidays and everything, we have Leslie Wiley of HorseNation.com back with us. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey. Oh, my gosh, you guys are talking about my favorite thing, hot polo players. Can we clone? I want to start cloning hot polo players.
Argentinian ones are the hot ones.
Oh, my gosh, I will tell you who I want a clone of. I want my own personal clone of, you guys have got to Google this, Nick Roldan. Roldan? I don't know. Hi. It's R-O-L-D-A-N. Google it now, Jamie.
I'm doing it.
He is a babe.
Oh, dear God.
I saw him. So he gave the Kardashian sister a polo lesson, apparently, like last year.
Oh,
I had to
goodness.
Look this up. And he taught them. He was like shirtless. He's a babe.
Oh, my God.
Isn't he
He's a... When you order that clone, can you just put an order in for two?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks.
That's funny. Well, Leslie, tell us what's going on over at Horse Nation right now.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're just, getting back into the swing of things after the holidays. We did a few post to wrap up 2012 and usher in 2013, and one of them was I looked back to see what were the top 20 Horse Nation posts or most popular posts of 2012, and you made the top 20.
I did.
One. You did.
Oh, with the horse husband or the 10 perks of dating and marrying a horse girl? That one?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That was a smash hit. I think it had 7,072 views.
Wait a minute. You said I was in the what number was I again?
You were number 11. Number 11.
Who could beat me? I mean, who could possibly beat that post? It was so well written.
It was so well written. That's true.
All right, tell me what the top 10 were. Now I want to know who beat me.
Well, so you really had nothing on our number one post. As brilliant as your post was, are 6 videos of little girls totally freaking out because they got a horse for Christmas. I mean, you just nobody stood a chance.
You can't compete with little girls and horses. How am I going to compete with that?
No, you can't beat that one. Sorry.
Nobody
no.
can.
I'm looking at your list here, too. All right, let's go down through them. You got the videos of little girls totally freaking out because they got a horse for Christmas. No, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
A horse for the cart. What was that article about?
That was written by, I think, as I mentioned in the article, I think one of the great things about Horse Nation is that we have a lot of contributions from readers. And this was, our number 2 story was an example of a reader story that just took off and ended up having over 16,000 views. So just really well written, fun, and I think in this spirit of Horse Nation.
Well, yeah, I have to read that one. I missed that one along the way. And then we have Stephen Colbert, Stephen Colbert's dressage training. We all expected that to be up there. That was very popular. We all talked about it endlessly. So I'm not surprised about that one. What I was kind of surprised about here is the next one on the list, Soaring, A Short History of Incredibly Stupid Practice. Have you found that those, because you're kind of lighthearted over at Horse Nation, you don't do a ton of serious stories. And this obviously was a serious story. Were you surprised at the traction it got?
I wasn't surprised. This was I think one of the hottest topics of last year, and it's something that a lot of people feel really strongly about. And there's a lot of people. I think people trying to get information about it. It's. What exactly is soaring? And so we just sort of, we ran a story when, I guess it was last springtime, or maybe in advance of when we ran that one, last April, when things were kind of in the news, just sort of a primer on what it is, what's the history of that practice. And so I think that just got passed around a lot.
Yeah. Well, and the next one, I can't compete with this either. 15 braiding and banding jobs that will blow your mind. And it was all pictures of horses with great braid jobs. And anybody that's ever had to braid a horse, truly understands and admires these pictures. They get it. So.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, really cool pictures. And, I think a lot of, it looks like these, who can braid like that? I think just little fairy hands, I think.
All right, so let's review. I got beat out by little girls screaming at Christmas because of horses. Stephen Colbert abusing horses and braiding. And then your turn, a frank discussion of the F word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was
about? This one was written by another reader and guest contributor, Bernadette Kilser, and she just was talking about from her personal experience of being a plus sized rider and the challenges
that
they
F-word.
Face. Yeah, that F-word.
Yeah. I was wondering what being a plus sized rider had to do with the F word, and then I get it now. Okay.
Yeah, but that was something that I think a lot of readers could relate to, and it really launched a discussion on the site. So I can definitely understand how that one was really popular.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I get it.
Number 7 again. Sorry, Glenn, you just don't have you just cannot. Didn't stand a chance against 10 freaking adorable baby horses. That's
I love that.
See, that's
one.
Not even fair. How's anybody going to compete with pictures of cute baby horses? Nobody can compete.
Nobody can.
No. And they're cute. And I noticed most of the pictures actually are a mini. There is nothing cuter than a baby mini horse.
Nothing cuter.
Yeah. That's true. And Horse Nation disqualified from FEI pictogram contest. That's kind of random, isn't it?
This was a story that we completely made up, but was very popular. It was a lot of. I think it got passed around a lot, especially in the it made its way around the Facebook was the FBI had a pictogram contest earlier in the year to sort of replace pictograms, little boxes, little pieces.
Yeah, like everybody will recognize the pictograms that were used for the World Equestrian Games, those little boxes of each sport. It's like a line drawing of each sport. That's what they were looking for. I love your lead photo there. There's a picture of a horse's butt. It was FEI Kiss This.
We're always giving the FEI a hard time. I love it.
And then the next one was for Jamie. The next one definitely was for Jamie. And Jamie, if you're on that page, check out the 10 jumps that scare the living crap out of us.
Oh, my gosh. So what were some of the most popular? Because, I'm sorry, there's none that scare me more than the wall. And you can, everybody, you know what the wall is, right?
What? Now, which wall are we talking about?
Isn't it at Burley?
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, the big, yep. The one with the ditch in front of it.
Yeah, the one with the swimming pool in front of it.
The one with the Grand Canyon in front of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
There are a lot of scary jumps in here, let me tell you. And you're right, the one at Hickstead, too, the Hickstead Derby Bank, that's the one that everybody sees pictures of that it's almost straight down. You see riders coming off of that all the time.
Yeah,
and that's show jumpers there, too. they're not used to the eventing cross-country phase.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All these pictures just sort of make me a little weak in the knees, for sure.
And then the one I truly don't understand how it beat me was planking. Equine planking contest. I never understood planking to begin with, you know, and then have them beat. Not by much, I might have.
No, it didn't beat you by much. But, yeah, I mean, planking, equine planking was something that happened in 2012. It will never happen again. It was just, you know, it was a phenomenon. but it didn't beat you by much.
That's true. I was okay on that one. I'm close anyway. There were some weird ones.
Now, Leslie, here I've got a job for you. I appreciate your suggestion of that polo player that you mentioned. What's his name again?
Nick Rolden.
Yeah, I forgot about him because I had to look up Nacho Figueroas. Oh, my God. So if you go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, there's a photo of Nacho. And I think I'd rather have a clone of him. And his name is Nacho, and I'd like to take a bite. Oh!
All right.
I am a pregnant, happily married woman, people, okay?
Just
I can make this comment.
Being a pregnant woman.
Oh, my goodness. I have to check this out.
Yeah.
Pregnancy has not stopped the hormones, apparently, Leslie. The hormones are doing...
Estrogen
oh, my
is
goodness.
A
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Let you guys go and just go spend some time alone with this picture. Wow. He's beautiful.
There's a reason that he is a supermodel. He's also, by the way, in his spare time, he models for, like, Ralph Lauren, and I think he models watches, but nobody looks at the wristwatch that's on his wrist because they're looking at him. He models everything. He's that good. But
yeah, there's a polo player that actually makes a few bucks every year, and it's not from taking a stick either.
No. Polo's fun. We need to go to some matches. Come on. All right. So were you done, Glenn? I'm sorry. That was it.
And then there were some that lost, you know, that didn't go, that came after me. We won't talk about those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I forgot what we were talking about to you.
I'm looking here at pictures of his house. I found an article that have Nacho's house, and he was in a nice little place, too.
No.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine he lives in a nice place. That's crazy. so anyway, those of you who want to see him, he's on our Facebook page. Just check out Horses in the Morning. And I expect in the next day or two an article on hot polo players and how Leslie, it is one sport that just attracts all of the good-looking straight guys. I don't understand.
Hi.
That's a good article, yeah.
I don't know. I will do some research on that, I'm sure. I will dive right into that. Don't worry.
Oh, I mean, I meant to say, Leslie, that you can do an article about cloning and the fact that so many polo players want to clone their horses. And if you happen to need to go to Argentina to interview some Argentinian polo players about it, I would be happy to join you on your quest.
Leslie, before we let you go, you posted one of the most hilarious pictures. Was it your horse that with the blanket?
Oh, yes. That was
Tell us
my
that
horse.
Story.
Oh, he got tangled up in his blanket somehow over the weekend and just shredded it. I mean, it looks like it got, you know, like it got attacked by Edward Scissorhands or a cheese grater or
destroyed. We were in the tack business for a lot of years and saw a lot of destroyed blankets. Nothing. This thing was shredded. I mean shredded.
Yeah, there was not much left of it at all. I don't know what happened. It's one of those, like, you just wish you had a video surveillance camera out in the pasture.
I assume he was out with other horses, because...
Yeah. He was out.
By yourself. I mean, we've had horses, blankets torn and things, but I'll tell you what, that one's bad.
It was bad, and he, you know, I brought him in, and I think I put the picture on, or wrote a little story about it, but he just, you know, and he was, like, bleeding, and his knee was full, and he was missing shoes, and his blanket shredded, and he just, like, kept looking at me like, you know, I didn't do it. I don't know.
Did you get one of those calls from the barn? Did you get one of those calls from the barn?
I got that call. The call.
You did?
Yeah.
And you probably thought it was much worse. As long as it's only the blanket, then you're happy. See, you're expecting the worst, and then they say, oh, his blanket's shredded. And then you go, not a vet bill.
Right. Right. Well, we avoided having to call the vet, but he did bang himself up pretty good in the process. So, but he, you know, I think he'll live to fight another day. Live to shred another blanket.
Do you mind if we post that one on our Facebook page so everybody can see it?
Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, thank you, Leslie. This is HorseNation.com. Leslie joins us every Monday to talk a little silly stuff that's happened in the week before over at Horse Nation. You can find all of their articles there. We really appreciate you being on. Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
You too.
See you.
Bye.
Did you see the picture of Leslie's horse with the blanket?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It is very impressive. I mean, there's no, like, you can't take that to the seamstress and just have the rip fixed. You're not going to sew the thing up yourself. It's toast. Throw it away.
That is true. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Well, just to let everybody know, I was going to give you guys a bit of an update about Edward earlier in the show. So I posted a photo of him, Glenn, on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Oh, terrific. How do you do with the show? We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, well, he started
now, Edward
out awesome.
Was, let's remind everybody, Edward was one of the horses that you broke out of jail.
No. Edward is the horse I got at the racetrack.
Okay, go ahead.
I found him on Canter, and I saw his picture, and I looked, been looking forever, and looked at like 100-something horses, and he was the one I selected, and he's just beautiful. His conformation is awesome. He is just a little bit crazy. So he's doing really well. My friend Stephanie is crazy. She's a 1-star prelim rider, and she's just crazy enough to take him to these shows. I ride him at home, and then she likes to take him to places to compete him, and and it's great because I'm pregnant. I don't think riding a squirrely thoroughbred on a cross-country course is necessarily the best place for me right now. So it works great.
Probably a good choice.
Going. Dad and my husband has forbid it. So we took him to a place, and it's a one-day horse trial. So you do a dressage test, and then you go change your saddle, and you go out basically straight out, and you go to do your show jumping. And from show jumping, once you're done with show jumping, you go straight to the cross-country course and start your cross-country course. So it's really quick, rapid fire. So she ended up getting on him about 40 minutes in advance because he was pretty hyper. Rode him around and actually went in for dressage and put in a really nice test. The judges said he had so much potential. He's looking really good and he's coming along really nice. And she rode very well.
He didn't jump out of the ring, none of that?
No. He didn't get his right lead on the first try, but after that he picked up his leads. He didn't relax at all, but he was obedient, which is kind of all you can expect from a guy doing his first horse trial. He's gone and done the little cross rail jumpers at this place before, but that's it. So he hasn't really done anything, and we took him beginner novice. Well, then he goes to do the show jumping course, and it was a beautiful show jumping course of 9 fences. And the first, it was very bizarre, and I did make a lodge a little complaint after the show, because the first 8 fences were these beautiful poles with gates and panels and just spectacular looking cross show jumping fences. And then the last fence, number 9, was a ditch. On their show jumping course, a ditch. And then from the ditch, once you jump the ditch, you headed straight out to the cross country course. Well, my poor little Edward has never seen anything like that. So he goes and he jumps 1 through 8 flawlessly, perfectly. I was so proud. I took lots of pictures. She's jumping him nice. And then he goes to the ditch and stops. I mean, stops like he is scared to death that there's a monster. He's never even seen one of these before. So needless to say, we were eliminated. But I actually, to the point where I had to run out there and jump it in front of him, and that's when he finally jumped it. Because he just did not understand. I actually, on my feet, by the way, went out on the course and actually got in front of him, and I said, Edward, do this. And I jumped over it, and then he finally jumped it. And that's how we ended.
You ended on a positive note, though.
Well, you would think. You would think we would have. But then, you know, we'd already paid for the cross-country round. And it's not like anybody stopped us from going over there. So ended up taking him on cross-country and running the course. He had several stops at the first fence because he was kind of in the saying no mindset where he was like, everything is scary. But we were able to school him afterwards and get him over everything. And he went in the water and he went down the down bank and he ended up going over the ditch a bunch more times. So this was a very good learning experience for him. I'm really pleased with how he did. His show jumping was awesome. His dressage was great. And so now he's seen those things. And we just got the big fat E next to her name.
You know, I think that's the best, you know, considering what we were talking about on Friday, which was her really getting her breeches dirty. Which didn't happen, right? She didn't get her breeches dirty.
She did not. She stayed nice and clean.
See? Well, there you go. Yeah. So that's a positive thing right there.
Exactly. So it was a really good weekend. I took Jet and just rode him around. And once the show was over, I hopped on him and took him in the dressage arena and, you know, rode until I had to pee again. So that's pretty much what I do is I ride until I can't hold it any longer. But it was a fun horsey weekend, and everything went really well. And then we took Chad and I took a trail ride yesterday with the Duke and Jet. So it was really good, really fun.
So at what point are you going to stop riding?
I think I just ride till I can't, like, it's not comfortable anymore.
Okay. Right. Or you can't get yourself up over the, you know, saddle? Is that?
I would like to point out that I had to get off and open a gate this weekend, and I was able to stick my left foot in the stirrup and climb back on my horse. So I am still able to mount from the ground.
Okay,
the baby was a little angry at me, and he kicked me, but I did do it.
Yeah, your baby's going to be like, oh, you're going to know real soon whether your baby likes riding or not. You're going to find out real soon.
Sure. I'm pretty sure with the way that he pushes on my bladder, the second I pick up the canner, that he is not a fan. I'll get you off. Watch this.
All right, everybody. We'll be back here live on Wednesday. We'll have another show for you tomorrow. Don't forget you can hear all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can email me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com if you have a guest idea, or jennifer@horseradionetwork.com if you have somebody that you think would make a good guest. We get a lot of our guests that way, actually. People email us all the time. And we, you know, Jennifer's always looking for guest ideas and guest suggestions. So drop us a note, tell us a little bit about the person and why you think they should be on, and we'll see what we can do. Also, don't forget all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network are at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you, Jamie. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Everybody, get in your really bad ads. Just spend some time on Craigslist, where you'll have an awesome prize this Friday for you. Get them in, and then don't forget, spay, neuter, and geld, people. Just do it. Needs to be done.
Sorry about the wrong race there, Jamie.
I'm going to have to go Google Gary Stevens now and see the race.
The right one?
The right one.